What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Not Without Merit podcast for the final week of May, episode 22. I am one of your hosts, Mike, taking over for Jake, who is out sick this week. We, of course, wish him the best and hope that he gets well soon. And joining us, as always, is Ben.
Hello. I'm here, and I'm not sick this time.
Congratulations. You missed a hell of a week.
I guess it's technically it's my turn now, so.
Yeah, that's true. That is very true. Yeah, he picked a bad week to be sick. We will get to the news and the reasons why in the near future. But for now, let us jump into the games we've been playing. And I've been playing some God of War. It's, again, a game you can't really talk about without spoiling the story. But according to what other people have told me, I am about one-third of the way through the game. And no more updates. I mean, I'm still liking the game. I'm still enjoying it. That's about it.
Are you exploring a lot in the open world, or are you just kind of mainlining the story?
Oh, yeah. Every time I get to, like, a new area, like, I go do literally everything before doing the main story part, within reason. Like, there have been some stuff I came up with where it's, like, the purple health bar people, they're, like, super high level. I'm just like, nope. All right, I'm definitely not meant to do this.
People.
Yeah, I'll do my one attempt, get hit once, die instantly, and be like, okay. Not ready for this, obviously, so, yeah, surprisingly not too many of those areas, I think probably less than, like, five, like, encounters that I know that are just, like, I'm not meant for this fight yet, so that's kind of good, that I kind of like the fact that I can do most of the things available to me at any time, and I'm sure if I really wanted to, I could just crank the difficulty all the way down and just, like, fight my way through those, but I'll do that at post-game if it really comes down to it, but I'm still enjoying it. I'm trying to think if there's anything that has really, like, bothered me. Not so much. I still, like, the upgrades and, like, the gear stuff is cool, but it's, like, I also don't really give a shit about any of it. It's, like, I don't really feel invested in that system, like, at all. If it was not there, I don't think I would miss it either. Like, I like the rune stuff. Like, the rune stuff's cool. Like, being able to change, like, what abilities you have on, like, your L1 plus. Like, those are sweet, but as far as just, like, upgrading my equipment, it's just like, oh, I have the materials, okay, whatever. Boom, upgrade the one I have, because it's better than anything I can make, whatever. Most of the stuff I pick up is trash, so I wish there were ways to, like, kind of crush the bad gear you have into some of those materials, because some of them seem hard to come by. I know they have a rarity system when it comes to those crafting materials, and yeah. They're not joking about the more rare stuff. I feel like that stuff's way harder to come by, so I'm a lot more picky with what I can upgrade. But other than that, I'm still having a good time with that game. As far as everything else, you know, Rocket League dropped a new crate, so I've been dipping my toe back into that. I've been playing that, having fun. As far as new games go, H1Z1 has finally made its way to PlayStation 4 after being on PC for, like, I don't know, how years, many multiple years.
Years,
I don't know, yeah, with how, that thing starting out as a mod into its own game, getting split into two different games, and it's finally on PS4. They definitely said at the top that this is open beta, and it's early access, and it shows in some ways. I mean, currently, you can't, if your teammates go down, you can't revive them, so, and they said that is not a feature, that is something that they will put into the game, so that's not by, you know, intention. I've only played solo so far. I'm having fun with it. I mean, it's a good change of pace from Fortnite, being a little more grounded of a game, not just, you know, no building, no, you know, bloom with your weapons, you know, obviously a little more realistic when it comes to the weapon firing and things of that nature. So yeah, the rough around the edges do show, like, some of the buildings, you know, once you get into some interiors, they're not, you know, rendered too well. But I'd say as far as, like, connectivity and, like, lag and stuff, that, like, non-existent. Like, it's a smooth experience from, like, start to finish. Yeah, there were definitely problems at launch because the servers were basically just getting pounded. I think they said they had, like, by the end of the first weekend, there's, like, over, like, 2 or 3 million people have, logged on to that. So I'm sure that's way higher than they ever could have imagined as far as trying out a brand new game, with Fortnite being the most popular thing in the world right now. But I'm having fun with it. I don't think it's going to, like, replace Fortnite as a, like, Battle Royale killer. I will say I have more fun playing that solo than I do Fortnite solo, so maybe when I get that itch to play by myself, I'll probably stick to H1Z1 as, like, my solo game. but since no one else really seems interested in trying it out, I don't expect to be getting many squads going in H1Z1, which is fine. Like, you know, it's kind of like that whole... Yeah, I mean, I'd say give it a shot. I mean, yeah, I kept my expectations low, and they were met very well. I still think it's probably going to be like a, at best, maybe 75-25 split as far as my Battle Royale game times with H1Z1. That's like, I'd say at its absolute peak. Right now, it's like 95 Fortnite, 5% H1Z1. But as time goes, you know, I pop in, play a couple games, and, you know, don't play it for a few days. But I'm having fun with it. So that, you know, for a free game, free to play, I'm not complaining. I'm having fun with it. But other than that, I got some games on the horizon with the recent sales. I picked up Cinemora EX, Neon Drive, and Tesla versus Lovecraft. So I will have those to play in the very near future. So as if I needed a much bigger backlog. Overwatch. We all played some Overwatch over the last weekend. It was a free weekend, so you got a chance to play, Ben. And
I did.
Me picking it up, finally got to play with people since I repurchased it about a month ago. And, you know, still having fun. I really like the anniversary stuff that they unlocked everything. It's going to be really sad when that goes away. And I honestly think, like, after that anniversary event's over, I'm probably going to really slow down the amount of time I'm putting into Overwatch, because most of the old stuff is what I want, not necessarily the new stuff, especially with them also bringing back all those limited time events. Like, that stuff's really fun. But we'll see. You know, with this event going on, it really kind of rejuvenated my love for the game. So we'll see how far that carries. And, you know, summertime, not much new coming out, so it's definitely the time to sink into an older game. But, yeah, that's all I've been playing. What about you?
Like you, Overwatch, I sunk some time into it this weekend. I took advantage of the anniversary weekend with all the skins being unlocked.
Will you be buying it
again? I still don't know.
You got a week. It's on sale this week for everyone. It's $30 across the board, like everywhere. So, but I understand. I can see both sides.
I'd like to buy it, but I know how we are with these kind of things. We'll play it for like a week or two, and then we'll just quit, like Battlefield 4, and how you will try to trick everyone into getting Battlefield 1 again.
Hey,
it's not going to happen.
I'm just saying. I feel more confident in Overwatch.
So I did have fun playing this weekend. I snagged some of the anniversary skins, like the Mercy Witch and the Cthulhu Zenyatta. We had a lot of fun. It was, I don't know, it was just like playing it again. You'd steamroll a team one match, and then you'd turn around and get steamrolled again.
Yeah, put you right back in your place.
Yeah, it's tough to get a groove going in that game. And then, you know, my brother's trying to force us into some competitive, and that was a nightmare.
Yeah, first match we won, though.
Yeah, first match
we went 1-1.
Completely steamrolled that other team, and then, of course, the next one, we get steamrolled. It's how it always is with that game. But other than Overwatch, it's the usual, the Fortnite playing, and I did unlock a trophy in Skyrim this week, which really took me by surprise. And then I realized that I didn't really play a whole lot of the remastered Skyrim on PS4 when it first came out, so I still have a whole mess of trophies to get still that I've already gotten like twice before on PC and 360 when I played these games already, but I mean, it's Skyrim, so I'll get around to it. But that's it for me. I'd really like another Elder Scrolls game. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Would you?
How about we roll into some news?
You're going to be waiting for a while, because everyone did expect that, you know, as the usual Bethesda move goes, it's, you know, Fallout, you know, Elder Scrolls, back and forth. Now, did Online come out before 4, or did that come out after 4?
I think it came out before 4.
Okay, so, you know, as,
on,
you know,
PC, at least.
Right, as the terms would dictate, this would be Elder Scrolls 6's turn to be announced and go out there. However, we got a curveball. So, starting on Tuesday, Bethesda pulled their same kind of spiel they did with their announcement of Fallout 4. They fired up their Twitch channel, put the whole "please stand by" image on there, ran it for about a day and a half, 2 days, and then afterwards we got the reveal of Fallout 4. Same thing this time around, except they announced another Fallout game. That would be Fallout 76. Now, the 76 is in reference to the vault in which the game might take place in. This is a true teaser as teaser gets. You're only shown that it is the year 2102, so this will take place 25 years after the Great War, basically the apocalypse, what destroys the entire world. And with that, that puts it about 175 years between before Fallout 3, Fallout New Vegas, and Fallout 4. So this is essentially a prequel to kind of the reboot of the Fallout series. Nothing is known about it. They said at the end of the trailer that more will be shown at E3, so that's when I assume we're going to get a reveal of what kind of game it is. Platforms, they did... We didn't even get platforms or anything. Presumably it's going to be, PS4, Xbox, PC.
Mobile, I'm sure.
Yeah, mobile. release date, nothing. It's just a teaser as teaser gets. However, lots of rumors have been trickling out. The biggest rumor right now is that it's going to be a more online-focused game, kind of like an DayZ or an Arma, where it's kind of like a survival RPG type of game. But that's all rumors and speculation, so I won't go too deep down that rabbit hole, because it could just as easily be 100% wrong, and this just is a quote spin-off game in the sense how
but Fallout the speculation is so fun.
Oh yeah, let's all just throw stuff at the wall until something sticks.
I think it's going to be some kind of sport where you ride on death claws and battle in an arena type setting. That's my guess.
Hey, I mean, technically you could almost do that in 4 if you get creative enough with the tools.
Oh, but you know
the settlement tools.
If it's 25 years after the Great War, there's probably not death claws yet.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people are like thinking of. Like, okay, yeah, what's the kind of the world going to be like? There's not going to be a lot of the super mutated, super mutant types.
You would assume won't be there. Ghouls wouldn't be there.
Yeah, it's just going to be
some time.
It might be more kind of mostly humans, you would think. Just kind of human factions fighting each other, or kind of semi-mutated people. I mean, we're all kind of speculating on the fallout, a nuclear fallout, and how it affects people. So I guess we're all just still guessing. But I'm excited for it. I mean, I'm a total Fallout fanboy, so nothing. Unless this is basically like a Fallout Shelter type game and they're all just pulling a fast one on us, I'm pretty much like sold already without even seeing what the type of game it is. If it's online focused, cool. I mean, we've all been asking for like that version of Elder Scrolls Online, but Fallout, like, I don't think anyone would really complain about that, because that's also really what we really wanted. Not Elder Scrolls Online, though I hear Elder Scrolls Online is doing fine now. Had some speed bumps, but I hear it's a much healthier place than it was at launch.
It was rough. It was a rough launch for them.
But yeah.
I'm with you. I've been wanting like a Fallout Online type game for a while, and I don't know, this could be what we're all been kind of looking for, just a smaller scale version of like Elder Scrolls Online, just in the Fallout universe. Mm-hmm. If the online rumors are true, so bring it on. I'm excited for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, E3 is basically a week and a half away, so we won't have to wait too much longer to see the true reveal of Fallout 76. As it is the end of the month, it comes that time where Sony reveals their upcoming PlayStation Plus games for June, and the two PS4 games for the month of June are XCOM 2 and Trials Fusion. The games you'll receive on PlayStation 3 are Zombie Driver HD and Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Future Soldier. On PlayStation Vita, you will receive Atomic Ninjas and Squares. It's a rare month where there's no cross-buy, so it's just straight two games per platform, no bonuses across the board. Obviously, I'm a little let down since I already own both of these games, so I get to kind of sit this month out. But, I guess it's cool. I mean, personally, I feel Trials Fusion is the weakest entry of the series, but on PS4, it's literally your only Trials game, so I guess it's better than nothing. XCOM 2, while I love the game, I have spoken at great length as far as all of the technical issues that game has. But, hey, maybe if they get a shit ton of people playing this more, they'll actually spend some time into, like, improving the game at a, from a technical standpoint. Wishful thinking, probably not going to happen, but yeah.
I'll definitely grab XCOM 2, just to give it a try.
I say, yeah, didn't you... You tried an XCOM before, right? Or did you just think that those games aren't for you?
I played the first one on PC a couple years back, and just the complaints that you've heard over and over again really just drove me insane. And I quit. I didn't play anymore. It just drove me crazy.
Is it like the technical stuff, or just like how stupidly hard that game is?
Just. Yeah, how ridiculously hard it was.
Like, I mean, I will say, like, playing this 2 on, like, the rookie difficulty, I felt it was actually relatively easy. Like, I mean, obviously you can save scum your way through any scenario regardless of difficulty, but, I didn't even, like, do that. I only did it a handful of times because I, like, made up my own rule that my character and the character of my wife can't die during the campaign. So that was really my only save scums. Where anytime they died, I would roll back so they don't. But
Did I make it through?
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Most people of note. I think Jake and Andy were the only notable characters that I created that didn't make it to the end. But I know. Hey, it's XCOM. It's tough. Not everyone makes it.
That's true.
Well, the battle between PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds and Fortnite seems to be continuing, as now Battlegrounds creator Blue Hole Entertainment has filed a lawsuit against Epic. And this is claiming that they are violating the copyright of the Battle Royale mode, specifically with how Fortnite copies Battlegrounds' interface and in-game items and playstyle. Yeah, I don't know how this is going to go. This is kind of weird to me. I don't know how PUBG is essentially the only people that can make a battle royale game. I'm confused by all of this. I think it's kind of petty almost.
It's a very poor attempt at it. Just it makes them look bad for one. It makes them look like butthurt second place rage quitters at this point.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's like, the game that came out after us is now infinitely more popular. So, yeah, let's try to, like, soak some money out of them.
It makes no sense to me. I mean, I get it from their standpoint. They're basically become, like, yesterday's, oh my God, it's like last year's news at this point because...
Yeah.
Like, no one's talking about PUBG anymore. It's all...
But, yeah, I mean, like, you know, did they... you can't patent, like, game... Like, I'm sure there are things you can patent, but as far as, like, a concept... Yeah, you can't patent the Battle Royale genre. It's not... Yeah, because if that was true, Call of Duty, probably they would have probably patented first-person shooters and then sued everyone else out of existence if they tried to make one. I mean, that's just how these things go. It's a trend... Everyone steals it from each other, and may the best man win. I mean, that's why we get waves of lots of stuff. That's, you know, the mobile wave, the open world wave, the every game has RPG elements in it wave, the every game has a multiplayer mode in it wave. I mean, this is now we're in the every game is either a battle royale or has a battle royale mode in it wave. I mean, that's just how games are. It's just a series of different waves of whatever's trendy and popular at the time.
We got about a year or two of Battle Royale scenario types being thrown mm-hmm. into games now, so...
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if Madden or FIFA came up with some kind of Battle Royale mode for their game.
100 football players dropped onto a field. Last man
killed
standing.
The man with the ball.
Mm-hmm. Killed the carrier. Yep, see? It could work. There you go. Thank you, EA. We'll take our check now. Now we're getting into some release dates. We will kick it off with Mega Man 11, which has had its release date confirmed for a while that it was coming out this year, but now we have a hard release date of October 2nd. It will be landing on PC, PS4, Xbox One, and Nintendo Switch. The big reveal that also came along with this was that the graphic style of the game has drastically changed. I mean, this has been classic 8-bit, even through the more modern ones like 9 and 10 that were made in recent years. Kept the 8-bit across the board. Now, out the door, is now 2.5D style, a little more cel-shaded. I mean, if I want to make a comparison, it kind of looks like Mighty No. 9, but that's the only comparison I'll make between those games. And I will say Mighty No. 9 did look very cool. But, yeah, big changes for Mega Man as far as visual style. It looks cool. I think it looks fine. I mean, if it would have been 8-bit, that's fine. This is fine. I mean, you go to Mega Man for the gameplay. You don't go for how it looks. So I honestly could give two shits what kind of art style they decided to go with. Yes. Oh, yeah. Still, yeah, this isn't... They didn't farm it out to some third party or some shit. Yeah, this is Capcom's team working on this one.
All right. We'll see.
Yeah, I'm...
It's Mega Man.
Cautiously optimistic. I mean, I never played those more recent ones, but I heard they were very good. So, I mean, they can't mess it up too bad, can they?
Yeah, no. Mighty No. 9 was supposed to be, like, the greatest thing on the planet.
Yeah. But, I mean, Capcom's been doing... I mean, hey, Resident Evil 7 was way different, and from what That's I heard, that was true. Really good.
It, so, they definitely rebooted they went that for it. Franchise. Yeah.
So I have faith. I have faith in them. Next up on the announcement train is Madden 19. Yes, the game that you were shocked that could possibly release this year. Yes, I know. Surprising. Madden 19 is real, and it is coming a little early this year. August 10th. It's usually a few weeks earlier than their standard kind of end of the month release.
That's about right. Second week of August. I mean,
sometimes this usually lands like right around my birthday, but yeah, early August release this year. Obviously, PS4, Xbox One, there will be a Hall of Fame edition with T.O. being on the cover. Obviously, if you pre-order that, it gives you a bunch of Ultimate Team card packs and bonuses and blah, blah, all that fun stuff. They have yet to announce who will be on the cover of the Standard Edition, however. They have tended to have some sort of contest over the summer, kind of like a tournament-style fan bracket. But we'll see if that remains to be seen or if they're just going to go back to picking their own. If you do, however, pre-order that Hall of Fame edition, you will get to play the game 3 days early on August 7th. And, of course, if you are an EA Access member, you'll have the ability to play the game for up to 10 hours starting on August 2nd. That, of course, is only exclusive to Xbox One.
Did you say up to 10 hours?
Yes, that is how the EA Access program works.
How much money is it to subscribe to EA Access?
$5 a month, I think.
$5 a month?
Yeah, but you also get free games. It's kind of like PS Plus. They have a bunch of free games they give you as part of it.
What
but
games?
I don't know. It's all EA stuff. So, it could be Battlefield 1, Titanfall 2. They switch it in and out. I mean, it's a cool thing because you don't have to own the game to play it early. It's basically like, hey, you get a 10-hour demo of the entire game. Yeah, it's like you get a 10-hour trial of all their games a week early. Mm. So it's a cool feature. I mean, okay. I don't think I would pay an extra $60 a year just for EA games. Not that it's even available on PS4, but it's kind of cool for people that really want to play Madden and can't wait. You only get 10 hours, and obviously all your saves and everything will carry over to the full game.
Right.
But, yeah.
I think it's the hour limit that kind of bugs me.
Yeah, it's dumb.
Think's going to happen? Like,
I think
someone's
going to
play 24/7 up until release, and then
yeah,
like,
I mean,
oh, I don't want the game anymore.
As far as if it's like campaign stuff, I'm sure, you know, hey, if you gave me, you know, a game with a week early access, unlimited amount of time, I could probably play through and get my heart's content if it's like, you know, a single player game. Obviously not Madden. I don't know anyone that's going to get bored of Madden in a week.
I've got a game of Madden paused right now.
See?
So.
Yeah. So I'm sure this, you didn't need to be sold on Madden 19 in any way, shape, or form to be
absolutely
excited
not.
For it.
I'm very excited for it because of all of the so-called franchise updates they're throwing in and the ability to have custom draft classes has got me probably the most hyped I've been for a Madden game ever.
Now, they had to have had that in the game before, right? And that's just something they never added back in?
You could import your NCAA football draft class.
I remember that, yeah.
But you could never edit create one from scratch coming in.
Okay.
But you can. Okay. Here's the fun part is, once everyone's been drafted in Madden 18, you can turn around and edit every single player.
Okay, so it's just it allows you to do it more organically rather than just okay, I'm going to draft player X and then just turn him into whoever the hell I want.
Right.
Which like I guess is cool. I mean, yeah, people take that franchise shit, like especially with the fact that it's online now and everything, so you can make like a true simulation of actual drafts, and it's really cool. That stuff's all.
I really hope that they allow sharing of draft rosters, so you could.
Oh, they have to. They have to. They'd be stupid.
Just
not
imagine
to.
All of the crazy stuff. You could have someone doing actual NCAA draft class. You have someone doing Hall of Fame draft classes.
Yeah. Can do the entry draft like every single year. Be like, all right, these are the players that are coming in. Like, here, see if you can, build a team just as good as your favorite team does.
Yeah, like imagine doing a draft class from 1990. Into your Madden 19. That'd be fun.
I mean, that'd be cool to just, go the whole way. It's like, all right, download rosters from that time. Like, all right, I'm going to start from 1990, and I'm going to play to the modern day. Just rosters and everything. Like, it adds a whole new wrinkle to the franchise mode that, as if that game wasn't deep enough with all that stuff, gives it even more depth. And I'm excited too. Like, last year is what turned me on to the Ultimate Team as far as the single player stuff. And they also said that they're adding more single player focused challenges. So, yeah, I'm probably going to be sold on this one too. So, be a rare back to back Madden year for me, which I do not do often. So, that just shows you how much that Ultimate Team stuff really turned me around on that game.
Yeah, I gave up on the idea of not getting it every year. I don't get it every year.
I mean, for the amount of hours you put into it, you get your money's worth. Like, that's not even up for debate.
Oh, yeah. I've already played, one Dynasty for 15 seasons plus. I don't even remember anymore. And I just, after the NFL draft a couple weekends ago, I started up a brand new franchise, so I definitely like going through and playing this damn game. I just love the GM aspect of it all, mostly.
Just, yeah, the ability to
just
run
running
shit.
The team.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we aren't going to get away without any sad news this week, and it comes in the form of a delay. The Wolf Among Us 2, first slated for the second half of 2018, has now unfortunately been delayed to an unknown point in 2019. Telltale has stated that this comes as a result of a few fundamental changes at the company since the game was first announced in the summer of 2017. Disappointing, because I was fucking pumped to play it. I mean, that's between that and Borderlands, I think those are the two best series they've done by far, so I was excited. But hey, it happens. It's, that's the price of 11 games. A lot of them get delayed a lot
of the
time.
Tales of the Borderlands was a PS Plus game a while back.
Yes, it was. Yeah, I think last year?
I tagged that one.
You should play that. It is very good.
Play that one.
It is very good.
I've heard nothing but good things about that one. I like that world. It's fun.
Yeah. Yeah. It's goofy. Borderlands did a very good job of extracting most of the dick and fart jokes out of that world and making it actually funny. So that was a huge plus for me. But yeah, Wolf Among Us. Like the fact that I'm still happy that season 2 is happening because it looked like that was never even going to happen to begin with. So I'm still happy that this exists. So whatever, you guys take your time, do it right. Because, just thank you for making this, period.
Absolutely. The first one was amazing, and
oh, yeah, that was what got me into Telltale games, favorite. In general. Oh, yeah, same here. That is easily my favorite Telltale game. Finally, we will... Oh, yeah, for sure. That Walking Dead stuff didn't interest me. I've heard the Game of Thrones was kind of bland. Batman was pretty
good. Love Game of Thrones. Like, I was a walking Game of Thrones encyclopedia for years, and I started that up, and I couldn't get into it at all.
Was it just not, like, what? I don't know what would make that bad. Is it they just tried to do their own thing and it didn't work?
Yeah. I don't know. It's been a couple of years since I booted it up, but it's the same gameplay, but you play some small house in the north, I think. I forgot when it takes place.
But yeah, I guess I just couldn't get into that universe. Yeah, that universe, you kind of want to be a big player. You don't want to be some side story that doesn't really kind of affect things. And I'm guessing, too, they probably were very, like, you can't shake shit up too drastically in this game.
No, when you build a game in a world, I mean, the lore is set, and you can't just start making up new shit as you go. You
right.
have to play by their rules. That's hard to do when it's not yours.
Yeah, very much so. Especially when it's not a comic book where you can just be like, okay, we're making our own universe. Bye. No. Yeah, it's
parallel
like, no,
timeline.
Yeah. Whatever. We'll mix stuff up. Yep. This is parallel Batman. No problem. We will close out this week on an up note. Days of Play, Sony's kind of summertime sales event, is back this year. And along with it comes a shiny new SKU of the PlayStation 4. It will be called the Days of Play Limited Edition PS4. It is a blue system along with matching blue controller with the PlayStation 4 classic, you know, triangle, circle, X, and square logo kind of emblazoned in gold on the top as well as on the touchpad of the controller. This will be your standard slim. This is a slim PS4, not a pro. It will be available for $299, so standard price. It will have the 1 terabyte hard drive and one controller with it as well. Along with this, there will be an 11-day sale going from June 8th through the 18th. This will be only in U.S. and Canada, sadly, but these are the deals that you will get during that time. The standard PS4 Pro will be $50 off, so it will be $349.99. All PlayStation 4 VR bundles will start at $199.99 and go up from there. All colors of the DualShock 4 will be discounted to $40. The PlayStation Move 2-pack controllers will be discounted to $80. The PlayStation VR Aim controller will be $50. And, of course, there will be various retail sales. I will list those off for you as well for their first-party games. God of War will be $50. Gran Turismo Sport, Horizon Zero Dawn, and Shadow of the Colossus will all be $20. MLB The Show 18 will be $40. Bravo Team, which is a PSVR title, will be $30. Farpoint, also a PSVR title, will be $14.99. And The Inpatient, which is another PSVR title, will be $15 as well. Now, the sales don't stop there. PlayStation Plus, a 12-month membership, will be $10 off, bringing it down to $50. For new PlayStation View subscribers, you will get $10 per month off of your subscription for the first 2 months, which afterwards will jump up the price to $44.99 per month afterwards. And they also announced that there will be a big PSN sale during that week. However, they did not list any of the games that will be on sale during that. Yeah, great sale, especially for controllers. Those don't go on sale often, so if you're in the controller market, and the colors too, the colors are usually a couple bucks more. So if you're in the controller market, jump in now, absolutely right now.
Solid deals for sure. Do they give you a discount on new pants if you get that inpatient game?
Yeah. No discounts on dry cleaning or pants or underwear or anything like that. Unfortunately, no. But also, yeah, great deals on the games, like Horizon for $20. If you never played that, go now, like, for real. I mean, God of War, I mean, that just came out, and it's already getting a $10 discount. So, and that game's, you know, fantastic. So, also no reason to wait out on that one. But, yeah, more sales for Sony coming this summer. That will do it for the news this week, which is going to bring us right into our top five. And keeping up with our tradition, we're doing it a little early this month as we plan to do our E3 predictions for next week's episode, since that will be the last episode before E3. So we're kind of flip-flopping and doing this one a week early. We're doing the top releases for the month of June, and this is a tough one.
This is very thin. Very thin.
They tend to not
list.
Release a lot of really good games. Like, I had six games down. Two or three
that's
that were
I
kind
had.
Of... I probably could have got to, like, 9 or 10 if I really wanted to stretch it, but those games were just, like, a filler spot. They would have never made the list anyways, but yeah.
Those are the games that I've heard of. I wasn't about to start listing those.
I at least have
five that I played.
Lots of sequels, like Lego and Mega Man games, for some reason, like to come out in the summer times. Even this year, we're getting another Lego game for the Incredibles. Lego game comes out this June, so they're keeping that tradition alive. Would you like to go first?
Sure, I can go first. I don't have a honorable mention this month.
That's how thin. Well, what was your sixth game?
I can't.
It doesn't
remember.
Have to be your. Oh, okay.
I honestly don't remember. Hopefully it's on your list and I can say that was it. That was my honorable mention. I was going through this list and I was getting really worried as I kept going through, and there's not a whole lot that came out in June that
no,
I can
it's,
proudly
it's,
say.
Hey, it's summer months. That's kind of, they've, even back then, it's still fall and early, you know, early in fall. Summer, for some reason, they just don't want to put games out because they think no one plays video games during the summer. I don't know why that mindset's still a thing. I mean, I'm fine with it. That's like my catch-up months on video games, so it's okay, but it's just weird.
Let's not break that cycle.
Let's not complain, because then they're going to start putting out a bunch of really good games in the summer, too.
So number five is going to be Vigilante 8. From 1998. This is a Twisted Metal clone that ended up actually being better than the last Twisted Metal game. So,
I felt it was always like the PG Twisted Metal, because it's all kind of cartoony and safe and not violent and gory.
Yeah, I mean, it was fun. I honestly, I don't remember a whole lot about this game. I just remember having some fun playing it.
I mean, it's
I still
a
like
Twisted
Metal
game.
2 more than Vigilante 8, but this one was a lot of fun when it came out. Number 4 is going to be Diablo 2 from the year 2000. This is the first real dungeon crawler looter game that I played.
Same here.
It was just a lot of fun just going back through dungeons, and everything was, you know, randomly generated, so your dungeons weren't the same. It really was kind of like the next big thing in that genre, and it was huge. That game stuck around long enough for Blizzard to ignore it for a very long time.
Years.
12 years until Diablo 3?
Yeah, because it was the year before the new consoles came out. So, yeah, 12 years.
Ridiculous. Anyway. Number 3 for me is going to be Red Faction Guerrilla.
Came out in 2009. Oh, I'm so happy you put this on your list, too.
I know. We played so much of this online in the beta. And when the game, like the fully released game, was like different than the beta, and I guess we just did not like it as much, but it had fun game mechanics all around, and the story was pretty solid. I had a blast with it. I played it all the way through, and
that destruction tech at the time, fantastic! Like, it was incredible the ways you can tear apart that map.
Yeah, tear down a building and then bust out your reconstructor in and build it right back up again. It was just a crazy mechanic, and we had a ton of fun playing that one. Number 2 for me is going to be Civilization Revolution in 2008. This is a really well done port of the Civilization franchise from PC. It doesn't go as deep, and the maps aren't nearly as big, but it does still have a random map generator, and you can still play up to, I don't even remember how many was the max, but you can still have a good chunk of different civilizations running around out there. I thought they did a really good job of it. I know so many people who had this game and played it to death. It was just really good, well done work. Number one for me is going to be The Last of Us, 2013. This was the most stressful gaming experience that I've ever had. Just creeping through tunnels and houses filled with clickers and zombies. Those damn clickers, I swear. Those were the worst.
Yes, it's one very of
the
much
worst
so.
Enemies in a game. The story was just fantastic all the way through. Just left you feeling so many emotions by the time you were done with it. It really puts you through the ringer. That game does. And it was just phenomenal all the way through. It's one of my favorites from last generation, for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
So my top five is number five, Vigilante 8. Number four is Diablo 2. Number three is Red Faction Guerrilla. Number two is Civilization Revolution. Our number one is The Last of Us.
All right. I will jump in now. And our lists are surprisingly different for not having a lot of games. My number five is Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker, released for the PlayStation Portable. And this, for, you know, obviously not a core Metal Gear game, so didn't get the widespread kind of popularity as the core games do. But for people that were the dedicated Metal Gear fans, they would eventually see this game kind of reborn, in a sense, with Metal Gear Solid 5. It shared a lot of the base building mechanics. A lot of the stuff is like capturing soldiers and kind of turning them and sending them out to do missions. And it... basically, the biggest change between Peace Walker and 5 was the fact that rather than it being an open world, you just kind of went on missions. But overall, lots of lines of comparison you can draw between both of the games, and it played very well for a handheld game. I mean, those game, you know, PSP, single joystick, obviously puts, you know, a lot of hindrance on it, but those games still controlled and played very well for being on a handheld platform.
I saw that in the list. I'd never played it before, but I always heard good things about
it's
that.
It's good. I don't know if it's something that's like worth revisiting. I think it's if you, especially after playing 5.
I could never
like,
go back and play something like that. Even though I own a PSP,
it's probably, if you, it's not worth it at this point, but still for the time, very, very cool game. Number four, our only shared game, Red Faction Guerrilla. Ben, you hit all the points on the head here about why this game is awesome. I mean, I've been a fan of this series all the way back since the original Red Faction on PS2. That was the first PlayStation 2 game I ever owned, and that destruction technology.
Good job on those
games. Yeah, oh yeah. I mean, that series has carried on, and you know, in the later years, that kind of waned a bit. The Armageddon, which released after Guerrilla, was not that great, and since then, the series has gone kind of dormant. They are doing the re-release of Guerrilla, so hopefully that kind of drums up some popularity and gives the series a shot in the arm.
Into that one.
Oh, absolutely.
Definitely.
100%. So hopefully, you know, it does well and they consider bringing this franchise back, because I feel, you know, next gen, it could do very well. Number three is The Last of Us.
So far down the list.
You'll see. You hit all the points. I mean, it's a fantastic game. You know, it's, as far as cinematic storytelling in a video game, it's definitely one of the best stories, you know, possible. Soundtrack is absolutely incredible soundtrack. You know, I'm very excited for the sequel, but I got some personal favorites that are going to put it ahead of The Last of Us at number three.
I'll see.
The first one being number two, Rogue Legacy. This might be one of the best, if not the best, like rogue experience of kind of the modern generation of rogue games. I know that whole kind of rogue light and rogue like category has had just hundreds upon thousands of releases, and there have been a lot of great ones. I mean, there have certainly been a lot of terrible ones, but Rogue Legacy was one of the ones that not only captured the Rogue element to it, but also got a little bit of Castlevania in there as well. I did like the system where how there was permadeath, but there was also progression. How every time you would die, you would come back as a descendant of the previous character, and there were different builds you could pick from each time, and depending on the build, would give your character would play differently or have different strengths and weaknesses. It was a really unique take on the series, and I had just such a blast playing those games. I would say playing that game. I played it on Vita and PlayStation 4 like multiple times over. It's just such a fucking fun experience.
I will say this. I must have overlooked that. So I'm putting that as my number 5 now. I'm kicking out Vigilante 8.
Okay. That now Vigilante 8 is still honorable mention.
Rogue Legacy is still not better than Last of Us. Get out of here with that. Come on.
All right. Well, then you're not even gonna... My number 1 is Nex Machina.
All right, I'm out.
This is Housemarque's, well, as seems to be now, final twin-stick arcade shooter, and quite possibly I think it might be the greatest twin-stick shooter ever made. I mean, it's just simply perfection from top to bottom. Gameplay, just totally perfect. Soundtrack is incredible. They teamed with Eugene Jarvis, who, if you don't know, is, you know, legendary you know, arcade maker. He worked on things like Robotron, Smash TV, you know, some of the, you know, big arcade games of the last, you know, 25 years. Yeah, it's just fun. It's like that another genre that has been just filled with thousands upon thousands of games, and after a while it's like, all right,
somebody should sue someone over that for copyright infringement.
Exactly, come on. I mean, yeah, Housemarque made, I mean, to be honest, Housemarque made some of the best of the genre. I mean, when you look at like Alien Nation and Resogun is a twin stick shooter, but a little different. And Nex Machina, Dead Nation. I mean, they've had a corner on that market for quite some time. Sadly, people tend to apparently not want to buy those games a lot, which is why they're kind of pivoting into new arenas. But at least they went out on top with Nex Machina. I mean, that's a game I will be playing for years and years to come. I don't think they would have ever topped it anyways, so I guess it's best to go out with the best game you can possibly make. So my top 5, number 5, Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker. Number 4 is Red Faction Guerrilla. Number 3 is The Last of Us. Number 2 is Rogue Legacy. And number 1 is Nex Machina.
I'm kind of bummed I missed Rogue Legacy now, because I really like that feature.
I'm not going to lie, I totally missed The Last of Us. So
you snuck it in there.
I'm like, all right. Good. So yeah, so it was my list originally had Tekken 7 at number 4, which got bumped out, and then yeah, Last of Us got in at number 3. So yeah. Yeah, sorry to Tekken 7. That was, you know, that'll be my honorable mention, as well as Ninja Gaiden 2. We're the two games that unfortunately didn't make the cut, but yeah. See, so it's okay.
My honorable mention there. That's gonna bug me.
Yeah, now you're gonna have to see. Yeah, what was the mysterious sixth game you thought of?
I know.
I mean, it wasn't much to pick from, so I'm sure it wouldn't take long to look back and be like, oh yeah, it was this game.
We'll get Jake's in next week, and I'll go back and I'll find it.
There you go. See. Yeah, that's it. So, yeah. Well, yes. Wish Jake well. Hopefully, you'll be feeling better. We need you back for next week. It's a big E3 week, so got to get those E3 predictions in. But for now, that is going to do it for this week's episode. Ben, where can they find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter and Twitch at TheLeroyOG.
And you can find me on Twitter at JustSurvive, on Twitch at TheJustSurvive. You can follow the show on Twitter at NWMPod. We also have our website, NWMPod.com, which has links to all of our contact information, links to all of our past episodes, and of course you can subscribe to our show on iTunes, Google Play Music, Stitcher Radio, or your podcast app of choice, in which we always ask that you go and leave us a review and let us know what you think of the show, because each and every week we thank you for listening, and until next time, take care.
See you.